You're listening to We Love Where You Live, the podcast series brought to you by the Michigan Municipal League. Here's your host, Matt Bach.
I'm Matt Bach, Director of Communications with the Michigan Municipal League. I'm joined here with Monica Galloway, Flint City Council President. And Monica was just recently awarded by the league our Ambassador Award, which is the highest level that anyone can achieve in our Elected Officials Academy program. So Monica, tell me a little bit about what it means to you to get this award from the Michigan Municipal League.
Well, first of all, Matt, thank you for taking time out. Sure. It means a lot. The reason why is because when I first got elected to the Flint City Council in 2013, we were under emergency manager order. And so there wasn't a lot of legitimate legislative training going on. We were, in my opinion, I was new to the arena of elected officials, but we were elected officials in theory. There wasn't a lot of training going on to really help you know what you were responsible for doing, because an emergency manager was doing those functions.
Right, right.
Very
difficult role to be in.
Right, and so the training was not as impactful at the city for me. And 1 year, the emergency manager required that all elected officials had to complete level one of the Michigan Municipal League's Elected Officials Academy.
Right.
And so in doing that, it was not only a requirement in theory, but it was a requirement to the next pay grade.
Yeah, so for in order to get pay raises, you had to complete the level of this program.
You did. So you were at a fixed amount. You could have the new amount until like November 1st, but if you didn't complete Elected Officials Academy level one, your salary would drop back down to the old salary.
Yeah, it's kind of like being forced to eat your vegetables. I mean, how did you view that?
Well, actually, the difference with eating your vegetables, it was in theory, it was supposed to be better for you and health. completing level one impacted financial impact, literally.
Yeah, right.
So, but for me, as someone that was new to city council altogether and didn't understand all of the roles of legislators, mm-hmm. it was a well of water to me. It was like someone forcing you to go drink something, and you realize how not only refreshing, but how nourishing it was. And in that, I began to meet people like our current president of the Michigan Municipal League, Brenda Moore from Saginaw.
Yeah,
who was passionate, who was very passionate and encouraging. And so the more I began to make those partnerships and take the courses, I began to be, in my opinion, a better legislator. And so it made it easier to try and excel in an arena where it was marketed and targeted to have graduating levels, if mm-hmm. you know, right?
Yeah.
And so that's what how I started and why this level is really very important to me.
Right. So, yeah, so you did, I mean, you could have just gotten your level one and stopped there because that was the requirement to get the pay increase, but you didn't. You kept going. What was it about the program? I'm guessing maybe going into it, particularly being somewhat forced to go into it, whether that was the case or not, but probably going into it, you maybe had a perception that maybe how did that change over time of the program, the elected officials program?
So many people go to college to learn some of the things, and college costs. And at the age that I came into city council, you know, I was doing some college courses, but I didn't see college in place for me to learn what I needed to learn. And so the league had immediately applicable things that they were training you on. Hmm. They were partnering you with legislators all throughout the state of Michigan. So you were building, you were networking. You had access to people not just training on paper. The league was a resource. And so that's what made it easier. I began to learn what I was supposed to be responsible to on behalf of this community. Mm. And that was important for me. And the benefit was the city paid for me to have access to that. And right. So it didn't make sense for me that taxpayer dollars would be spent on a resource that wasn't being utilized.
Sure.
And so I wanted to be a good steward over that, as well as making sure that I was doing what I could that was available to me to be a better legislator.
Yeah, absolutely. And you bring up a point that, you know, as members, the city of Flint is a member of the Michigan Municipal League, as most other cities and villages are in the state of Michigan. And as that, you do get discounts for participating in our different trainings and conferences and programs. And doing those, participating in those trainings, you get credit for the Elected Officials Academy. And the more credits you get, the higher you go up. So there is four levels. There's level one, level two, level three, level four. And only, I think, just over a dozen people now have completed all four levels. What was it like? How difficult was it? Or maybe it wasn't that difficult. What was it like to get to attain all four levels?
So it was really interesting because I can't say enough about Brenda Moore. She was consistently, she got elected the same year that I did, but she was very passionate about it. And she consistently would say things that begin to resonate. She would say, many of the things that you're doing in your communities are going to work on level four. You just have to do the level one, twos, and threes.
Yeah.
And so at first that didn't make sense, Matt, right? And so when you looked at the Elected Officials Academy, and the help that they give you, you were able to go back and see, oh yeah, I did take part in this. And so although it couldn't count until level four, literally didn't count for any other level until level four, you realize that what you had been doing in your everyday role many times allowed you to complete level four, but you had to do all three levels to benefit from those things.
Right, right.
And so, yeah.
Interesting.
And that's, so that's how I got there.
Yeah. So one of the things I think level four requires you to do some kind of community engagement or public speaking or some kind of leading a training or something like that. You're probably more familiar with it than I am. And I know you were involved with our Save My City Ambassador program, not to be confused with this ambassador award. We have another program called Save My City Ambassadors, where we've trained a group of elected officials on our Save My City messaging, which is about how the state system.
I am one countries. Of those, Matt.
You are. I know.
Am
you're
a
both.
Save My City Ambassador.
You
right?
are. You're double yeah. ambassador.
Yeah.
So that's what I was getting to. So we did train you and a bunch of other elected officials all over the state on how to speak to the broken municipal finance system, why that messaging is important. And so you went through that training and then you have spoken about it. Tell us a little bit about that experience. And I know that did apply towards some of the credit for the Elected Officials Academy.
Yeah. And so the wonderful thing is I got to go into a different municipality and the league is very good at tailoring that presentation to your municipality specifically.
Right.
And so I had the opportunity to work with the league and pulling the numbers, sitting down with their board because it was a village.
Yeah, I think, wasn't it?
Yes, it was. And so, yeah, and it was interesting because when you start saying to people how much they've lost, but then you equate it to what that meant, like police officers and or firefighters and or, you know, people start to say, oh, okay, because it's tangible. It's
right.
not just dollars. We hear $1 billion. Now, $1 billion is a lot, Matt. But,
right.
but even when you hear $200,000 in a small village and you realize that that could cover maybe 10 officers,
yeah.
It's very impactful. And so being able to talk with the other municipality and their welcomeness to receive me was very interesting, as well as moderating, being able to moderate
to some of our conference sessions.
Yes, and so increasing your ability to speak in front of people. I know that people think just because you're an elected official, speaking before people is easy, but that's not realistic. And so some of these things, it allowed you to increase your confidence and being before people and articulating a message. And that was exciting and refreshing.
Yeah. Yeah. I think Elkton's in the thumb. So you had quite a bit of drive. I think it was like a 2-hour drive to get there. So
yeah, my husband drove me. I forgot. Yeah. Yeah. He didn't realize what he was getting into, but he was a good trooper about it.
Yeah. Good. Yeah. Well, what would you say is kind of the most, memorable or the most impactful thing you've learned by participating in the Elected Officials Academy program?
Just the networking, the other elected officials that you are learning side by side with, sharing strategies, sharing disappointments, sharing obstacles, and hearing some of the smaller municipalities that are overcoming greater obstacles than what you're dealing with. And so I would say the greatest thing was the level of networking and partnership. I can pick up my phone and call Roslyn in Grand Rapids if she's available, you know? And those things are crucial. I can call Brenda in Detroit. You know, I can call the mayor of Pontiac and say, hey, you know what? I heard that you guys did this well and you did it in this time. Can you share, you know, based on our municipality, when you get a chance, can you look and see how we can implement those things? And so you don't feel like you're alone.
Right. That's really, that networking part is really cool. And you mentioned something in there that I thought was really interesting. It's like, even the cities that you mentioned that you can call out to, Grand Rapids, Saginaw, Pontiac, all kind of have some of this. They're both all urban centers. But you also mentioned that, you know, even maybe communities that were smaller than Flint or maybe aren't facing the same or different issues, that it kind of helped you kind of give you a perspective. Maybe it helped you realize you're not alone in some of these things, but yet in the other communities had different challenges that you don't have, and that was somehow enlightening or helpful to you?
It was. Well, and even when we were in emergency, under an emergency manager, if I'm not mistaken, it seemed like eCourse was at one time.
Yeah.
And they were under Joyce Parker.
Yes.
And their deficit was either close to ours, more or under, but they were out in 3 years. I mean, totally out, whether she had great partnerships or those things. And so immediately you want to call out to Joyce Parker and say, hey, how'd you do it? What were the partnerships? And you're talking about a smaller community, right?
Yeah, right.
And so those are the things that cause you to be inspired to know, one, you're not alone. And two, if someone, a smaller municipality with less revenue can do it, then the ability for you to do it, the planning may be greater, the partnerships may be greater, but you know that it's attainable.
Yeah.
And that helps you reach out for it.
That's really good observation. I think that's, hopefully more people get into the program. Obviously the training and the education and the classes are good, but you know, like you said, the networking, the fact that you can pick up the phone and call, you know, the Grand Rapids Mayor Rosalyn Bliss, you know, it's pretty cool. I mean, those kind of lessons are, you know, you just don't get every day. So the connections. So how are things going in the city of Flint? I'm not sure exactly when this will air, but I know right now a lot of our cities are, you know, still going through the coronavirus pandemic. We've had a lot of protests in some of our communities. I know Flint has had its share with the George Floyd situation in Minnesota. What's the mood in Flint? How are things going in Flint, would you say?
So the mood in Flint, Matt, I can only speak for me, right? Yeah. it's been a tough 2020.
Yeah.
You learn that even in the back end of a water crisis, that to date, there's no true justice. That we were knocking on the door, and we haven't heard. When you have a lot of things in the media, certain things fall to the wayside. And so we were knocking on the door of the statute of limitation for even charging somebody with the water crisis. You have the Michigan Civil Rights Commission declaring that the water crisis was the result of systemic racism. That's their observation, and that's what they're in place to do. So you have that. You have residents that feel like there's no reparation, that they're just totally overlooked. And then you have COVID-19. You have a community that is already, according to statistics, 40% of our population is in poverty. Not even speaking of how many of those are children.
Yeah.
And then you have COVID-19 that shuts everything down in its tracks. And so we haven't even seen what the results of those are. And then you have the death of multiple people that screams out racial inequality, racism, abuse of power. In a technology world, Matt, you're talking about, but you can't be angry with the fact that technology is so much greater now and people are shocked. Like I can say for myself, I'm shocked that you would catch that on video and it not be. But Matt, and I'm just talking about the history of the African American, there's been multiple things, Rodney King, that's been caught on camera. And what happens is, after everything is settled and there's a not guilty, you're told, I know you thought you saw what you saw, but you didn't really see. And so there were many things behind the scenes that you didn't see that resulted in that. And so what do you do, Matt? I think if you're not careful, and I'm talking about me as an African American, as much as you see looting and you see people doing, I think that it's like anything else. When you become numb, you start doing things that says, you know what? I'm numb. I know that stealing seems like it's illegal, but I'm really numb because what is supposed to be illegal is not really illegal. And so why is my behavior considered illegal when that which we're seeing doesn't seem to be illegal? And so you just got this cycle of unhealthy behaviors and results. That what do you do, Matt?
Right.
You're tired. It's like a drug addict. You hear from them and they'll say to you, I'd rather be numb. I just rather do things that you might think they're destructive, but I'm really just trying to survive with where I am because coping is I just am not ready for that.
Yeah. How is it, at least so far, very thankfully so, there hasn't been, looting in Flint with the protests. They've been peaceful and things like that. How has that been able? Why do you think that's, been the case in Flint where it hasn't necessarily been the case in other communities?
I would hope that it's because the people that are organizing them maybe are cautious. Law enforcement has been doing what they can, it appears, to diffuse it. And maybe the fact that people have been really shut down, I really can't say, Matt. I'm thankful. Yeah. I can't say why it's not that way, but I'm very thankful. It looks like there's been in the protests that I've seen, I haven't been out to the protests, still trying to maintain social distancing. I have a grandson, Matt, that I hadn't seen in 89 days outside of FaceTime. And I had my first social distancing in my front yard on Sunday at day 89. And so because I'm just trying to move into being able to visit with my own children and my grandson, I'm trying to be very careful in the environments that I place myself in, as to not negatively impact the people that are closest to me.
Okay. What So that's good news for Flint. And, you know, with this COVID crisis, one of the, you know, my wife and I purchased a home here in the city of Flint. We moved in last September. And really one of the things we just love what's happening in Flint, the picture behind me is of Brush Park, which was formerly the location of Genesee Towers, a building that was an eyesore in the city of Flint and a hazard for many years. It got torn down and now it's a beautiful park. Then we got these murals, there's an example of one of the murals happening, and there's really a lot of exciting things that just to the left of this frame is the restored Capitol Theater. It's just a great town, a lot of up and coming things happening. And, you know, my wife and I are really drawn by the passion and the resiliency and just really the positivity that's happening in Flint. Can you speak a little to that and just the fact that even with this COVID crisis, a lot of our businesses are shut down. You know, Flint is really a resilient community. And what's your kind of outlook as we try to, you know, get our economy, our local economies and state economy kind of back running again once the pandemic lifts?
Well, and you said it, this community is amazing. They tend to be like rubber bands. They, you know, they will be bent all the way as far that you think it's going to break. And before you know it, it just goes back. And I think that there is a decision that's been made that says we are going to survive. We've endured a lot, and we have some people that are coming into our community. Our young people are starting to make their voices heard. We have some very educated under 40-year-old leaders, young leaders that are starting to get involved. And so when I go downtown, Matt, whereas you might not see an older crowd, even like myself or you, I mean, yeah, you have some of us, but you're seeing young people, yeah, like out at, I mean, they're amazing. Yeah. They're there, they're doing ways to communicate with each other. And so I think the passion of the bridging of the gap is starting to be experienced. What I'd like to see is that same energy that we see downtown. I'm fortunate to be a part of a count, you know, as a council person, downtown is I'm part of my ward, but I love to see that same energy spread out throughout the city, the north side. There,
neighborhoods.
That, yes. Yeah. And so so downtown is vibrant, and of course, you know, a downtown is the center of a city, and so you always start there. And so we got Farmers Market. I was there yesterday, Matt.
Yeah, how was the first day at back?
It was, you know what? I just kind of walked through. I'm like, oh man, wow, with my mask on, social distancing, looking at everybody. And so I'm excited about the opportunity for restaurants to resume June 8th. I'm looking forward to seeing what that looks like, but I'm hoping that people, like our governor has said, will still be responsible, because it won't take anything for a spike to happen. And but the sunshine is out and we're ready. And so that's what the city brings, that's what the sunshine brings, and that's what 93 days of being shut in your house will bring, Matt.
How are you getting along mentally? Because that is a long time.
You know what? So I'm really fortunate. I have access to my family and friends. We've done more Zooms than we've ever done. So I've actually reached out to more family members. And so we'll be on Zoom for hours. And so I do a pretty good. My husband, you might want to ask my husband how he's doing mentally in the house with his wife. With like no filters, Matt, you know?
Yeah.
Right. But I feel healthy.
Good.
Yeah, I do.
All right. Well, you're also a member of the Michigan Municipal League's Board of Trustees. We appreciate your service on that. And we normally have a retreat this summer. We're not having that. We're going to have a virtual meeting instead. And so I appreciate all your service to our organization and all the work that you've done for representing the city of Flint.
Thank you so much, man.
Thank you for coming on the show. Anything else you want to add?
No, I just want to say thank you. I want to thank you to the league. During this COVID-19, I know that Dan and Brenda and all of the staff is working so hard. We get daily, sometimes weekly, advisories telling us what the league is doing. you, Matt, putting on, you know, virtual things, letting us know, teleconferencing, webinars, yeah. And that has been very helpful, especially when you're closed down. You have a lot of time to invest in some sort of social media. And so those things are helpful as we move forward. So I want to thank you guys for everything that you do.
Well, thank you. Yeah, and all those things that she mentioned can be found on our website, mml.org. Monica, I appreciate your time to talk with me. And again, congratulations on receiving the Ambassador Award through our Elected Officials Academy.
Thank you, sir. You have a great day.
Thank you.
This has been a production of the Michigan Municipal League. For more information on our programs and services, please visit www.mml.org and join us for the next episode of We Love Where You Live.